This We Love Telling podcast is a Mirror Digital production.
Hi everyone, welcome to this week's We Love Telly podcast. The excessively hairy Rob Lee's in New York at the moment. What a glamorous. So my name's Rachel Wheeler and I'll be taking over for the next couple of weeks. Representing this week's We Love Telly, we have Sunday Mirror's TV critic Kevin O'Sullivan, or KOS as I know him, everybody's favourite soap guru, Tony Stewart, or T-Stew, and Sarah, I know pretty much everything about telly, Wallace. Hi Kevin, so talk to me about this week's X Factor revelations.
Well, it's been an amazingly turbulent week, and we've ended up at a position where Cheryl hasn't got a job on both sides of the Atlantic. And I think we're looking at Simon Cowell in a very new light. All of a sudden, he's not the almighty, powerful guy in charge. He's the guy who does what he gets told. And he was told by Fox to drop Cheryl Cole. And I'm pretty certain he got told by ITV we'll be dropping Cheryl Cole as well. So Simon Cowell seems like a very diminished kind of product this week.
What are your thoughts on Simon?
Well, as I say, he's a guy, I think he's stretched himself a long way. He's been trying to stretch himself between this side of the Atlantic and America. He's been desperately plunging himself into his big cherished project, you know, the X Factor USA. And, you know, so far it's really not working. I mean, those of us who know far less about the business than he does could see that the whole idea of sticking Cheryl Cole into an American program was always a bad idea. I still don't quite know why he's risking Steve Jones. Get some Americans, you know, appeal to their market. So he looks all flustered. He seems flustered. And Cheryl's very, very upset and has disappeared. So what an absolute shambles. What a mess.
Yeah, do you think the X Factor's going to miss Cheryl, or do you think they're going to be able to crack on without her?
Well, I always thought Cheryl was a kind of overrated as a judge. I know she was the nation's sweetheart, so everybody loved her. But if you analyse how good she actually was as a judge, she wasn't really that good. I mean, she was never that articulate. She's not that funny. You know, she mostly spent all her time saying, "I agree with Louis." So, you know, I don't think, in terms of the program, we're going to miss her, but a lot of people love her, so they'll miss her because they're missing, you know, the nation's sweetheart. But it looks to me like the new panel they've got will probably knock spots off the old panel.
I think you're right. You know, this Chalisa, I mean, love her or hate her, she's definitely going to divide people.
Well, I think there's two things about Chalisa. First of all, you know, there's a sort of cynical side to her appointment. It will bring in the kids.
Yeah.
We don't want too many 59-year-old Louis Walshes. We're trying to get a younger audience here. So Chalisa is definitely balancing out the middle-aged men, you know, Gary and Louis. And the other thing about Chalisa, though, is she is sparky and she's articulate and she's funny. So I think she may end up, I mean, famous last words, but I think she'll end up being the real revelation of the series.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think she might. I mean, I like her. I've seen her around a lot, and I think she's a nice girl. I mean, she's interesting and sort of probably kind of more fun than Cheryl. Cheryl got to be too much of a kind of showbiz product. You know, you got the feeling she never said anything or moved or did anything without endless meetings with the publicists. You know,
yeah.
She was being kind of created into something, whereas Chalisa is obviously far more rough and ready, and what you see is what you get. And if she holds on to that, she'll be a big success. I mean, you know, in the way of these things, fairly soon you'll probably find that no one will even remember Cheryl Cole used to be on the X Factor if the new panel's a success.
Aww.
Well, you know, it's the way it is. I mean, we're already noticing that, you know, Simon Cowell hasn't been massively missed from Britain's Got Talent. Over in America, when he quit American Idol sensationally and they thought the show was finished, this new series, without him, the ratings have gone up 21%. They've gone up 21%. So Simon Cowell, once again, is not quite looking like the crucial, all-powerful central cog that he likes to think himself to be.
That's true. Although he is back on Britain's Got Talent this week, what do you think of that? Is he doing well?
Well, I thought last night's was a very bizarre comeback, as it were. You know, he turned up with something going on with his eyes. He looked really Am I right? You know,
he
looks weird.
Botox,
it's surgery, it's something.
It's like he's got bruising under his eyes, like there's some permanent damage there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, something's going on there. His mouth looks strange. And he looked out of sorts. You know, he's not really good enough to come and sit on the semi-final of a show like Britain's Got Talent and at the end go, what was your name again? Who's that? What's he saying? I don't know. Who's that? He didn't know who anyone was.
No.
Now, you know, I know that we're only little old Britain and he doesn't care about us anymore, but you could show us a bit more respect. You know, you could at least take the time to acquaint yourself with the people that we've been watching on telly for the last 6 weeks. So he looked like he wasn't interested. He never applauded a single act. And frankly, and we know this is true, he looked like his mind was on other things.
Yeah.
He had more important things to worry about, i.e. the American X Factor.
Sort of undermining his own show, really.
Well, yeah. I mean, he seemed so bored. And when they said, when Ant and Dec said to him at the end of the show, oh, what did you think then, Simon? He sort of went, you know, as if it had been one great bore and a chore for him to be there. Now, so this was not the sort of comeback we were looking for. I think we could have asked for more interest on his part, more sparkiness, and just generally a more authoritative presence to what we've been used for. You know, as I say, his position was always down to the fact he was the authority figure. Whatever anybody else said, when Simon Cowell made his pronouncement, we listened.
Yeah.
He was the all-powerful Simon Cowell. And now we know he's just a guy who takes his orders from channel chiefs and the people who run the real power brokers, who are the people who run the station. So he doesn't look like he's as powerful as he used to be. So that has diminished his presence a great deal. So I thought it was kind of his return to Britain's Got Talent. Who knows how the rest of the week will shape up, but I thought it was very strange.
Yeah, what do you make of tonight's show? Who do you think is going to go through?
Tonight? Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think in terms of the whole series, it's going to take a lot of beating to stop that kid, what's his name, the little kid winning.
Ronan?
Ronan.
Little Ronan.
He looks like he's, you know, he's headed for victory and glory on a kind of Justin Bieber type title.
He looks like he's been created in a factory designed only to win Britain's Got Talent.
Yes, and it will work. I mean, the two golden rules of Britain's Got Talent are thou shalt not criticise young kids or old pensioners. I mean, that pensioner guy, Ted, singing Pack Up Your Troubles in Your Own Kit Bag.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, you know, has to be the all-time low point of Britain's Got Talent. I mean, you know, she couldn't sing, he couldn't sing, and yet because he's 92, everyone had to say, oh, you're wonderful.
Aww.
He wasn't wonderful. He shouldn't have been there. They've got to stop doing this kind of sentimental stuff and actually judge people on whether or not they're any good.
Fair enough. Well, we'll keep watching. But thank you so much for your time. Now it's over to Sarah. Oh, hi. I watch TV all day, every day, Wallace.
That's what I do. Don't do anything else with my life.
So, Britain's Got Talent is the main story this week. Tell me about your favourites.
Well, I'm really pleased Ronan went through last night. He's my absolute favourite to win. Although I don't know why that pianist went through. Paul, he was okay. I don't know if that's a bit harsh. But my favourites are Michael Collins, who's, you know, the guy in the EasyJet.
Yeah.
Tracksuit.
Oh, the man that looks like he's about to die.
Yes.
But lovely singer,
if you just maybe don't look. and I like Edward Reed, who's the guy, if you remember, he sang nursery rhymes in a really high-pitched glee style.
Yeah, people liked that.
People liked that. And I like the guy that made portraits out of Marmite on toast. I'm a big fan of Marmite on toast.
I don't like
what's
Marmite.
Not to like?
Yeah, I mean, tastes a bit like sick. Not to lie. I mean,
you don't
but
like
pictures.
Marmite.
No, but then I can look at pictures of Marmite. That's fine. And they'll probably be preserved longer because I won't feel like eating them.
You won't have to eat it, so it's okay. But there are a lot that really shouldn't even be there. I mean, we've got coming up this week, Antonio Popeye. What is that about? He just bulges his eyeballs out of his head.
Yeah,
it makes me feel ill, and I don't really see where where the act's going to go.
I don't know. It's kind of like shock factor. Then the first 7 seconds is all right.
Seven? That long?
And then,
you were shocked for seven
yeah.
seconds?
Well, I blinked for the first one.
Right.
And then, then it kind of goes downhill from there. And he's not even that good at dancing, really, so...
No. And Gay and Alan Cooper, the bell ringers. You like them, don't you?
Well...
I'm a little bit disappointed in
you. It's quite sweet. I mean, you can tell that that's what they do all the time, basically, in their living room.
I think they're a bit creepy.
Do you?
Yeah. Sorry.
Do you think when they do a really good song, they like have sex or something?
Probably. I hope so. I hope so, for their sake. And I'm really sorry, Britain. I don't like the dog act.
She doesn't like the dog act.
I'm not a fan of dogs. Sorry. The nation will hate me, but I'm not that impressed. Pip and Puppy are okay. That's the one where the puppy just squeals along to her singing.
Oh, I don't know.
I think if they got rid of the dog, she's actually got quite a good voice.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I quite like, is that Angela? Who's the one where the dogs do all the piggybacks on each other? Oh, they didn't get through.
I probably blocked it out of my mind. I told you I'm not a fan. But it's going to be a big week. It's on endlessly, every night, all week. So if you don't like Britain's Got Talent, go away.
Yeah, or if you don't like Britain's Got Talent, but you like the Hoff, he's got his own show out, which started, when does that start?
That started on Monday on the Bio Channel. This is, it's kind of like the Osbournes, but meets The Only Way is Essex.
Okay.
It's strangely set up and staged, and he does a weird voiceover all the way through it. But it's all about him and his being a single dad to his two daughters,
mm-hmm.
and they want to enter the world of showbiz.
Yeah.
He's not very happy about it. So.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's strange. I quite like him. It's strangely endearing. It's an awful show that you have to watch, much like The Only Way is Essex, I suppose.
Yeah. Does he come across well?
He does. If you ignore the bad acting that he does all the way through this reality show, he, you know, I do like him. He does come across well. He's in the first episode, he's trying to convince his daughter to stay at college mm-hmm. and not drop out to follow her singing career. But, yeah, you'll have to watch to find out if he succeeds.
Is she a good singer?
Well, we didn't actually hear her sing.
Right. Okay.
For the entire first episode. I think that might be a clue.
Hmm. And The Apprentice, big show that's on tomorrow night. Vincent features heavily, you say, which I think is quite interesting. Cause,
yes, Vincent and his many waistcoats feature tomorrow. He's made team leader because he's been in the ballroom every week so far, I think. So Lord Alan Sugar makes him team leader to give him a chance to prove himself. And the teams have to make pet food. One team makes cat food, one team makes dog food. And it literally is a cat and dog scenario for
right.
an hour. It's I love this show. I don't know what. Are
yeah,
you?
A big fan. Big fan.
They all they spend the whole time congratulating each other on how fantastically creative they are. And then obviously, as per usual, it's a big fall from grace in the ballroom. But
yeah.
I won't tell you what happens.
Did they eat? Does anyone eat the cat or the dog food?
No, sorry.
Really?
No, they should really taste their own food because they
yeah.
did make their own food, but I didn't see anyone tasting it.
Oh, I was expecting some of them to taste it, to be honest with you.
And they do a TV ad, which full of the usual terrible casting, misbehaving animals. Yeah.
Oh, it'll be like an old Blue Peter episode.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exactly what it's like.
How does Vincent come across? Well, or just as irritating and slimy as usual?
Very arrogant,
okay.
Full of his own self-importance, convinced he's going to win. You know, much like Glenn, who is the other team leader. So they just... the team that produces the cat food, it's actually for overweight cats. It's diet food for cats.
Right.
It's the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard.
Okay.
But what more can we expect?
Okay.
From The Apprentices.
Amazing. I'm very much excited about that. And you're a big fan of Scott and Bailey, is that right?
Yeah, this is the new ITV drama that just started on Sunday with Saran Jones and Leslie Sharp. It was actually an idea from Sally Lindsay, you know, who used to be in Corrie,
mm-hmm.
and Saran Jones. When they both came out of Corrie, they were sitting down having a chat over a bottle of wine, and they came up with this, you know, idea for two strong women cops to play alongside each other. And this is a few years later, it's come to fruition with Saran and Leslie. But it's great. I'd recommend it.
Oh, that's nice. So they just basically designed a show where they can both be badass cops.
Yeah.
Over a bottle of wine, and now it's actually on the telly, and it's quite good.
It's actually on the telly,
exactly. Well, that's good. Maybe we could have a bottle of wine and talk about how I've always wanted to be Superwoman.
Fine.
And then in a few years' time, I'll be...
up for that. Yeah, I'm sure it'll happen.
On the roof. Okay. Fab. Well, thank you so much for dropping by.
No problem.
Same time next week.
See you then.
So let's talk now to Tony Stewart, the soap god, for this week's roundup. And it's a big week in Corrie, say Tony. You're calling it Termination Street.
Exactly, it is Termination Street. It runs from Sunday to Friday, a nightly episode. And there's two absolutely bonkers stories. There's Becky and Steve, where she eventually takes a sledgehammer to the Barlow's house in this ongoing story about fighting for the children, Max and Amy. Well, as you do, yeah. I've never seen it done before, actually. She's quite vicious. And she wrecks poor old Deirdre's best china, as well as a dining table. And Tracy's lucky to get away with her life. So that's really exciting stuff, although I've got to admit that I've kind of lost sympathy with this character, Becky. Although Catherine Kelly's supposed to be one of the actresses in Soapland these days, I just kind of feel that she's been made to be a little bit unpleasant, and it's very difficult to actually sort of have any sympathy for her plight, because she's brought it all on herself. You know, she desperately wants a child. And she's put Steve really through the ringer, where he's in danger of losing the pub, his daughter, and the mother of his daughter's life if Becky has her way this week.
And tell me about Mad John, the canoe man.
Well, Mad John Stape is the other story that's running all week. Of course, he's the accidental triple murderer. Accidental because he hasn't really meant to kill anybody. Right. Apart from Charlotte during the tram crash, where he took a hammer to the back of her head, which was pretty vicious. But
kind of weaponry on Coronation Street.
they're quite imaginative, actually, when you think about it. What should we use this week to kill somebody? Oh, a hammer.
Something with a handle.
Yeah, or better still, a sledgehammer. Anyway, John is on the run because they've now dug up the body of Colin Fishwick from Underworld. Oh. It sounds mad just saying this stuff, doesn't it? But that's where Colin Fishwick had an unfortunate heart attack during a row with John and Charlotte. And rather than just report it to the authorities, they decided to bury his body, as you do.
Yeah.
In a factory, and that's blocked up the drains in Underworld, and now they're kind of excavating it, and John's worried that, you know, he's going to get caught out. And so that kind of keeps going on, because he sort of helped Colin Fishwick's mum, Joy, on her way.
Right.
Now this week, it's actually his wife, Fizz, and his daughter, Hope, who people remember was born during the whole of the December 50th anniversary carnage in the wake of the tram crash. And he has Hope and runs onto the roof of the Weatherfield General Hospital with Fizz in hot pursuit, because Fizz is also run over this week.
Yeah, I can see a couple of plasters there on the side of her head.
Yep, she's run over by Owen's van when she chases after John, who's been hiding canoe man style in the house. Yeah, I think it is a fantastic week. I mean, the stories are rather ludicrous, but nevertheless, they're really entertaining. There's loads of black humour. And Graham Hawley, who plays John Stape, is just absolutely fantastic. He carries the whole story through, because you just kind of, unlike Becky, who I don't sympathise with John, I just think, oh, poor man, you know, he's got three dead bodies on his hands and he might possibly have two more, or his own, by the end of the week. Who knows?
I'm sure you can empathise, Tony. But talk to me about EastEnders. Surely it's quieter over there.
No.
No.
There's a kidnap and a man is terrorised. This, again, is an on-running story with the Masoods and Dr. Youssef. And for those who don't know, Dr. Youssef is probably going to be the most evil man in soap by the end of the year.
You think so?
I think
that's a big shout.
Yeah, well, he's a villain of the kind of the soap ilk, and he's already causing a lot of trouble in the Masood's marriage. He was, of course, married to Zainab when they all lived in Pakistan, and she cheated. It was an arranged marriage, and she fell in love with Masood. And Yousef's family's revenge, which is kind of quite a serious story, or it was at the time, was to set fire to her with cooking oil. And so she's heavily scarred. But now Yousef has turned up in Albert Square. His daughter just happens to have fallen in love with the Masood's son, Tanwar. And Yasu's working away at them. And so Masood's wants him out of the way. And Phil Mitchell gives him a bit of advice. Frighten the life out of him. And of course, we've called it Postman's Knock in the mag, because they take him hostage, they bundle him into the boot of a BMW, drive him to a warehouse, tie him to a chair, and then with what appears to be a can of petrol, Masood makes Yousef confess one or two things. So it's high tension over in Walford as well.
Surely there must be some joy in the soaps this week, Tony. Can you lighten it up for us a bit?
Yeah, there's some joy in Emmerdale when Rona gives birth to what will be a Down syndrome baby, which is quite a tender story. Mm-hmm. And it's been done before. EastEnders did it before with the birth of a Down syndrome child to Billy and Honey, little Janet. And it was kind of like a very sensitively done at that time. And I think this time it'll be sensitively done as well. And it's all part of the love triangle between Rona and Marlon, who's the father, mm-hmm. who she split up with before she found out she was pregnant, and then started up with his best mate, Paddy. And so there's the three of them in the relationship. The child's going to have two daddies, Paddy and Marlon, and one mummy, Rona. And so it's quite a sweet story, in that kind of Paddy is feeling a little bit left out, because obviously Marlon and Rona are just absolutely overjoyed with the birth, and Paddy's not around at the time, so he's not part of the birth, and they won't let him into the pregnancy unit either, because he's not the father.
Yeah.
And so that's a little bit, you know, sad for Paddy, who's like a lovely bumbling character in Emmerdale that quite a lot of people have a lot of affection for. So that's good. And there's also a marriage in EastEnders.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so except it's kind of an arranged marriage, in the sense that it's for Mercy to get a visa. She only agrees to marry Fatboy, who's one of the most popular young mm-hmm. actors in EastEnders, when he confesses that he does actually love her.
Aww. Tony, how would you round up this week in soaps?
I think the soaps are it's one of the best weeks. I think for Corrie in particular, it's probably the best week since the week of episodes that celebrated their 50th in December. I think EastEnders is on top form. And I think Emmerdale is doing extremely well. They're rebranding Emmerdale as well next week. There's going to be new opening credits, new twist on the music. And they're just going to revitalise the show, which has been doing extremely well in the ratings anyway. So I'd say soaps, very healthy at the moment.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rachel.
Now it's time for this week's competition. It doesn't have a name yet, so we'll call it This Week's Competition That Doesn't Have a Name Yet, but it's something to do with guessing a theme tune. And as you can probably guess from the new title, we will play a theme tune backwards, and you tweet us and guess what it is. Here we go. Well, that's weirder than the thought of the moon being made of cheese. Now, tweet your answers to @WeLoveTelly. And that's it, really. I don't think we do anything with the winners. So, yeah, enjoy that. So that's it for this week's We Love Telly podcast. I'm going to crawl back out of my podcasting pit, dragging myself onto the sofa for another long week of channel flicking late into the night on my own. Goodbye.